play checkers. I can play checkers all day long. I've never played chess. I've never had anyone teach me how to play chess or had the desire to play, learn how to play chess. But I do understand how to use chess versus checkers in references. And what Danny White did was a chess move to get two extra days of preparation against Pittsburgh while also getting exposure for the Power T brand. And our players will be excited and jacked playing at night rather than playing at noon. So you kind of kill two birds with one stone. But my touchdown turnover is about Scott Barnes, who is the athletic director. At Pittsburgh. No, actually he's not. He just went. He went to Oregon State. He was athletic director at Pittsburgh.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh man.
Josh Stops.
Looks like it's this Heather, University of Pittsburgh athlete. Yeah, it looks like it's Heather Like. Looks like is the athletic director. So Heather Like is the athletic director at Pittsburgh. Touchdown turnover. Heather Like in Pittsburgh, they move their game up.
Who did you say they play? Not that it really matters.
UMass. Minutemen.
Fighting Minutemen that can only last. That's an interesting question.
Do you think that they try to move their game up? Because this is a big game for them. I mean, don't get me wrong. Pittsburgh has won national championship, but they're not the same brand as the Power T. And I know the success of the program has not been there for Tennessee, but come on now. Pittsburgh, this will be a huge deal for them, beating the Power T brand, beating Tennessee. So this is an opportunity for them, just like it's an opportunity for a first-year staff to win this non-conference toss-up game. Do you think they make a move and try to move their game up 2 days? Touchdown turnover.
And Pat Narduzzi, again, Pittsburgh's not a big college football brand, but Pat Narduzzi is a good coach and has run up. He's had success there at Pitt. He's been successful there. If I'm Pat Narduzzi, I'm begging this Heather lady to move up
the
opener 2 days. Whether or not it'll happen, I don't really know. I'd like to say touchdown because from a competitor standpoint, why would you not? I mean, you see your other competitor that you play week two, the bigger game, they're moving their game up 2 days and not necessarily to have two more days to prepare for Pitt, but one of the benefits of moving Tennessee's game up is that you do have two extra days to prepare for the Mighty Panthers. So if I'm Pat Narduzzi, I'm begging the administration to move up their game to that Thursday night. So I'll say touchdown. I think Pittsburgh tries to do that.
Yeah, I'm gonna say turnover. And the way that I'm looking at this thing is, I agree. I think they will want to. I think the football people, the football coaches, the head coach, they understand the advantage that Tennessee is going to have, and yes, they'll want to do the same thing. But the people with the ties, the ADs, the administration team, they're going to understand that they may not be able to. Because the other school has to agree, number one. Number two, if it's televised in one place, but then you have to move it to another time slot, you got to make sure you have availability. So there's a lot of hoops you have to jump through. And for Bowling Green and for Tennessee, they had to cross those T's and dot those I's before this announcement came out yesterday. This is something that was in the works for a while. And so it wasn't like, we feel like playing on Thursday. Let's just play on Thursday. No, you got to go and get that taken care of with the SEC Network.
They had to get it approved through the SEC.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So, and there's money. There's a big-time money opportunity for the SEC Network to play a game on a Thursday. There's advertising opportunity. So, just follow the money, man. SEC has its own network, more powerful, and, you know, maybe Pittsburgh can swing it on ACC Network. Maybe they can. Who knows? But I'm going turnover.
Sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
Was just going to add, I wonder if there's already an ACC Network game that Thursday evening. I would imagine that there is.
That Thursday, there's not another ACC team playing, so that could be an opportunity.
USF and NC State plays.
Oh yeah, NC State's ACC.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, and they were. I think I saw yesterday in a random article that NC State has like 16 starters returning. So by NC State standards, we'll have to check with CMAC. But by NC State standards, they're supposed to be pretty good this year.
Dave Doran have them winning 8 games.
Isn't that good for NC State?
They'll have 2 first rounders and three third rounders and still win 8 games in ACC.
We need C-Mac to call back in and tell us what a good NC State football season looks like. But I would imagine that, and NC State's the only ACC team, like you mentioned, playing on that Thursday as of now. So I would imagine that gets put on the ACC Network. I could also see that being like an ESPNU game. So if that is the case, then Pittsburgh could slide up and play on the ACC Network. But they could find a TV on Thursday, a TV slot for them on Thursday, whether it's a crappy channel or watch ESPN. I mean, and we talk about, or folks talk about, exposure for Tennessee playing on Thursday instead of Saturday. That applies to schools like Pittsburgh, not necessarily Tennessee. Like, Pittsburgh needs to play on Thursday. People are more likely to watch a Pittsburgh game on Thursday than they are Saturday.
I think everybody needs exposure. So
yes, absolutely. I agree with what you said earlier in the show. That's not necessarily the point I'm trying to counter. But to those who say that Tennessee is moving the game to get more eyeballs on its season opener, like, yeah, that may be the case, but that to me applies even more to Pittsburgh than it does Tennessee. Like, for the most part, people are going to watch a Tennessee football game regardless, because the brand, even though it has been down, the brand still carries weight. My Alabama buddies, because they are college football fans, they're going to watch a Tennessee game as long as it doesn't interfere with an Alabama game. Just as long as, you know, Tennessee's on TV, they're going to watch because they're college football fans. That's not the case for Pittsburgh. They're not going out of their way on a Saturday to watch Pittsburgh play football.
This scheduling this game reminds me of going to the big box store. Like, it serves dual purposes. Cause yes, you get more exposure. Yes, more recruits can see you. Yes, you have now given yourself 2 extra days of preparation versus Pittsburgh. Yes, your players are going to be jacked up. They're going to be excited. Yes, you're playing in a night game. So there's a group of fans, or a large group of fans, that appreciate that. While you still have other fans who may not. And the poll question that I put up earlier is, how do you feel about the 2021 season opener versus Bowling Green, move to Thursday night? And 86% approve. So, like, there's a small minority that's really loud. But this reminds me of going to the big box store and being like, yo, I need groceries. You could do that. But I also need to buy a TV. You could do that too. And I need to go to the garden center. Oh, you could do that too. I need to buy some oil in the oil filter to change my own oil in my car. You can do that too. And I need to buy some draws. I need some new draws. Mother draw's got a hole in it. You can buy some new draws at the same place. And some jewelry if you want to. Buy some new jewelry. It serves dual purposes here.
You know the other thing?
Multiple purposes, even more than two.
You know the other thing that's really great for me about moving Tennessee's game to Thursday?
More time to go buy some draws?
No. I do need some new draws, though. Thanks for reminding me.
What?
I get to watch Alabama play. I'm very excited about that. You know, Bama Ben, ready to watch Alabama. Bentucky, Big Boo Ben, I get to watch Kentucky play. Vanderbilt gets to watch Vanderbilt play against ETSU. So all of these different characters and personas that live with inside me, they get to come out. And I get to tune in and watch Texas A&M Ben. I get to watch Vanderbilt. I get to watch all these different personalities that I have.
You gonna watch yourself?
Yes, I get to come out and watch all of these teams that I just love so passionately. All Ben, I'm just absolutely thrilled that Tennessee plays on Thursday, so I can watch all my other teams play on Saturday as well.
I'm happy for you, Ben.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Happy for you. I don't agree, but I'm happy for you. Let's take a quick timeout and let's get on the phone with Chris Lowe, ESPN, and let's keep this thing going here in the Swain event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
While the other guys are taking guesses, the Swain event is taking you behind the scenes and in the huddle every morning from 7 till 10 right here.
Out-of-town law firms have been swarming into East Tennessee lately. Firms from Memphis, Chattanooga, and Birmingham have stormed into the area. Wouldn't you rather do business with a local law firm? You know, a true neighbor. Marcos Garza and the pros at the Garza Law Firm are just that. They are our neighbors and friends that support local causes year-round. The Garza Law Firm works to serve you professionally on criminal matters, injuries and accident matters, and Social Security and disability filings. The Garza Law Firm is here for you at GarzaLaw.com. The Garza Law Firm. Let us help.
When I made the move to my own studio, I was worried about this. I was worried about that. I was worried about, hey, did I get this piece of equipment? Did I get that piece of equipment? Does that sound good? Does that not sound good? One thing I didn't have to worry about, that was Office Furniture, because Office Furniture Outfitters met my furniture needs. With a 50,000 square foot facility, they have East Tennessee's largest selection and are the best value for new and used office furniture. Located in Knoxville, it's easy to find everything you need for your new space, including desks, file cabinets, chairs, conference tables, and more. Office Furniture Outfitters is turnkey. They came to my place, we mapped everything out that was needed, they delivered, and get this, set everything up. To learn more about what Office Furniture Outfitters can do for you, log on to OFONOX.com. That's OFONOX.com. We're here with Dr. Michael Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine to discuss stem cell treatment and PRP. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, Achilles tendonitis, or tennis elbow, you should give them a call.
That's right, Jason. We specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics, so we treat damaged tendons, ligaments, and joints by using ultrasound-guided injections with stem cells or PRP. And this form of treatment actually stimulates the body's own reparative process and allows for healing of the damaged tissue.
So, Doc, what makes your training different than others?
Well, Jason, I've been practicing in Knoxville for 26 years, and I'm certified in interventional regenerative orthopedic medicine through the American Academy of Orthopedic Medicine. So unlike the big seminars that will advertise stem cells, fly someone in for a couple hours to talk about supposed stem cells that you order off of a shelf, then they'll depart, leaving the patient wondering who will be the person injecting me and what their level of training is. At Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, I'm the one doing the procedure, and we're using your own bone marrow stem cells or PRP. So in other words, it comes from you and it goes back to you. So you know exactly what you're getting and know exactly the level of training involved.
Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, trsportsmedicine.com. East Tennessee's leader in PRP and stem cell therapy.
It's a new season, which means it's time to rep your team in new ways with gear from Game Time Sidekicks. Rep the Vols with every sip with a new tie-dye tumbler or bottle. They also have a new NFL Players Association product line, so you can support your favorite VFL on Sundays. Want to put your own flair on a tumbler? Game Time Sidekicks has you covered with options to add your own text or even a monogram on the back of your favorite team tumbler. To check out everything that Game Time Sidekicks has to offer, go to GameTimeSidekicks.com. Carry your team with Game Time Sidekicks.
You don't have to take an L just because you can't listen to the Swain event live. You can catch up on the podcast posted daily on the app, online, and on iTunes.
Swain Event, SwainEvent.com, fueled by Daddy and Barbecue. It's time to go to the Irish Network's hotline, where we check in with our guy Chris Lowe of ESPN, ESPN senior writer. Chris, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Dan, Jason. Good to be on with Vol Royalty and Media Royalty. How about Ben now, Mr. Swain Event and Mr. Vol Quest?
I mean, the dude got me ushering him around town. I mean, you should have saw it, Chris. This dude, he got in the car. He put his bag in the front seat and sat in the back seat. I'm like, what do you think this is, man? You think this is an Uber? Listen, you think you like the president or something? Like, he's sitting in the back seat.
As much as I gave you about having a posse and an entourage there at that end, and now you got Ben, who's having a guy, you and other people, chauffeur him around town.
Yeah, man.
That's why when you take him to the baseball games, do you sort of sit outside Lindsey Nelson's game and sit there and wait for him?
Yeah, man. I gotta open the door for him. He wants me to drop rose petals next to his feet like he's Prince Hakeem from Coming to America. Like, I don't get it, man. Ben, this Volquist thing has really gotten to Ben's head.
Now, Swain, know your car is way too messy for me to put my bag in the front seat and me sit in the back seat.
I do gotta move a car seat or two for that to happen. But you can sit in the middle. You sit in the middle. Chris, how big of a weekend is it for Tennessee baseball program hosting number one Arkansas? Things are going to be open up 100% capacity. I know you keep up with Tennessee baseball. How big of a weekend is it for Tennessee baseball, Tennessee athletic program? Danny White's, first year as an AD, and you know, there's things to do with the baseball program, but it's like an opportunity this weekend. But you know, just give us your take, your thoughts on this opportunity for Tennessee baseball against Arkansas.
It's the biggest series at Lindsey Nelson Stadium in decades. I mean, sometimes we get caught up in hyping up games and events and series. I don't think that's any hype at all. And people, I know the Vanderbilt series a few weeks ago was a big deal. But this is even bigger because it's later in the series. Tennessee now legitimately playing for the SEC championship, regular season SEC championship. But to me, more importantly, Swain, they've got six SEC games left, three against Arkansas and three against South Carolina. I think if Tennessee can go 3-3 over those three games, they'll get a home super regional. I mean, they're locked to get a home regional site. But they would get, I think, with 20 SEC, because that would give them, they've got 17 wins. I know Ben right on top of that Tennessee baseball team this year. I think they've got 17 SEC wins right now. I think 20 SEC wins gets them a super regional at home, which is big because if you can get out of the regional, then you host that super regional for the right to go to the World Series. Now, it's not going to be quite as big a deal or quite as big as an advantage this year to host regionals and super regionals, because I think the NCAA is going to cap all stadiums at 50%. So it's not like you're going to have every stadium packed. But you know what? That might help Tennessee, because you think about it, a 50% full Lindsey Nelson Stadium, I think, is more intimidating than a stadium like a Baum Stadium in Arkansas, which is huge. I think they seat 10,000 people or more. Than a 50% Baum Stadium or 50% LSU's not going to make it, but Alex Box Stadium. So that might help Tennessee a little bit. But it sure would be nice to play at home and to once again show that you can compete and win games against elite teams, which Tennessee has done already this year time and time again. My hat's off to Tony Vitello. He's done an incredible job, and he's done it in a short period of time. This town, this community is just all in with Tennessee baseball. The way they play, the confidence that they play with, the way they play and have each other's back. And it's so cool that, you know, you look at this team and there's not anybody that's hitting 360 with, I think Spence may be the only player over 300.
Mm-hmm.
But that's hitting 360 and is just somebody that's a dead cinch lock to go in the top 10 or 15 picks. But, man, when they need a hit or they need a guy to come through in the bullpen, it's always somebody different. One game it's Evan Russell. The next game it's Rucker. The next game it's, you know, Max Ferguson. It's just on and on and on. And it's been like that all year long, and that's why they're so much fun to play. And I think it all starts with the fact that they know that Tony Vitello is going to let them play. He's going to let them be who they are, and he's got their back. And that's, you know, Swain, you play football at a high level. You know when a coach has your back and when he's going to let you be who you are, you always play freer, you play with more confidence, and you play for each other. But Tony's, I can't say enough things. He's the epitome. People talk about talent wins, and it's not the X and O's, it's the Jimmys and Joes. Yeah, that's the case. I mean, Tennessee's got good players. I still don't think their personnel ranks up there with Florida and Mississippi State and Vandy and Arkansas. I think it will, because I think Tony's going to get to that point. But Tony Vitello is a shining example of how coaching and good coaching and coaches that understand players and understand, you know, how to get players to play and put guys in positions to succeed and to motivate, how coaches always will make a difference. And he's made an immeasurable difference with his Tennessee baseball program.
Chris, before we move on to football, I did want to get your thoughts on the facility upgrades that Tennessee needs to hand out to the baseball program, and kind of your perspective on what does need to change, and if you've heard any chatter that sweeping changes will come.
Well, you know, speaking of Danny White, and we'll use the baseball analogy here, this is his first big at-bat as AD. I mean, being able to hold on to Tony Vitello, because teams are going to come after him. And why wouldn't you? You know, if you're LSU and you make a move, if you're Texas A&M and you make a move, Arizona State, there are going to be a lot of blue blood programs out there potentially looking for a coach. And here you got a guy, Vitello, who's done it at a place with, if not the worst facilities, among the worst facilities in the SEC. You know, and I've seen all the stadiums in the SEC. And then a lot of fans don't travel to baseball like they do football and basketball. And I'm going to tell you, there's some Taj Mahals in the SEC when it comes to baseball stadiums. Lindsey Nelson is not. So this is Tony's first really crucial at-bat. What does he do? Because that's the key. I think the key to keeping Vitello. And I don't think Tony wants to leave, man. I think Tony likes it here. He likes what he's built. The people have been good to him. He's established some really good relationships with people, not just here in Knoxville, but around the state. And I think he sort of liked to see this thing through. But he's also not going to be deaf and stick his head in the sand if somebody comes after him at a place where he knows year in and year out he has everything that it takes at that place to be in the College World Series. I think that's what he wants at Tennessee, and that starts with the stadium issue. And I don't think that Tony or anybody over there who really, really knows baseball thinks that playing downtown at the new stadium is the answer. I just don't think you get a lot of students down there. I don't think you get the environment you do at an on-campus facility. If you ever had a chance to go to a game at Mississippi State, or go to a game at LSU, or go to a game at Arkansas, those environments are electric. Ole Miss, electric environments on campus at big, nice, plush stadiums with all the amenities. That's what they're going to do at Lindsey Nelson. They got to take that left field all the way down with bleachers, not bleachers, but stands. They got to put in I'm not talking about wooden bleachers. I'm talking about luxury suites and boxes, that type of thing, there in the outfield and left field, sort of like what Mississippi State has now. I think they've got to finish and spruce up down the first baseline all the way down through there and really make Lindsey Nelson Stadium among the nicest stadiums in the league. I'm not saying the nicest, but certainly one of the top five or six. I mean, Florida's new stadium is tremendous. But they've got to at least give Tony, whoever's coaching it at Tennessee, a chance. I mean, because right now, facility-wise, Tennessee's going to a knife fight with a paper sword. And yet he's still bringing in good players. He's developing players. So that's the first thing they got to do. I don't know how much that takes, Ben. Does it take $20 million? Does it take $25 million? But I think there are some people. I think there are some people who have enough respect, and they see what Tony has done, who've already been willing to step up and say, you know, I'm willing to give this, I'm willing to give that. And I think for Danny White, it's important to go to the president and everybody else and say, this is what we got to have. This is the way we do it. If we want to take baseball to the next level, we got to make our own campus stadium at least up there with some of these others. You know, money-wise, you know, Tony's going to get a raise. I don't think that's no big secret. What's Tony making now, Ben? You probably know, $600,000-$700,000?
$600,000.
Yeah. So I think you got to take him over $1 million for sure. But I think more important to Tony is take care of his staff. Take care of Frank Anderson. Take care of the guys on his staff financially. Make sure you lock those guys in, you know, and pay them accordingly to the jobs they've done. And I think other player amenities. You know, when you go on campus to visit, when a player comes on campus, what are grandparents and parents and brothers paying attention to, Swain? They're paying attention to player amenities, right? Locker rooms, team rooms, the training room, weight room, batting cages, all those things like that. Now, Tennessee has done some work in all those, in some of those areas, but there's more to do. And I think, you know, anything they can do over there to make that a destination program, when people come on campus and say, wow, look at the stadium, look at the player amenities, these guys are serious about college baseball. You know, yeah, they gave their coach a big raise because they know what a commodity Tony Vitello is. So it's up to Danny White and the powers that be there at Tennessee right now to not just talk about it, but to do it and show people, you know what, it's important enough to us to make Tennessee a destination baseball program.
So when you say go to Mississippi State Stadium and Ole Miss Stadium, that requires actually being in Oxford and Starkville, right?
Correct.
I don't know about that one.
That would be 100% correct, Sway.
Any way that we can go to the stadium but not go to Starkville? I just saying.
See, there you are. See, you've gotten so big now that you like to crack on other schools in the SEC. You used to not be like that, Swain.
I'm just proud of Knoxville. I'm just proud of the city that I live in, and I know it's superior to places like Starkville that only have one street light.
Well, I tell you this, Starkville, you know, and this is just showing my age. I can remember a time when you went to Starkville, Mississippi to cover a football game, and I think the only motel, not hotel, but motel in town was the old Bulldog Inn that you kept your eyes open all night because things were scurrying around in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And there were no restaurants. I don't even know if there was a McDonald's. There was nothing there. It's gotten a lot better. There's a few nice restaurants, Harvey's, and the baseball stadium, I'm telling you, is absolutely great. And the environment there is great. They even have a Hilton Garden Suites there in Starkville now, Swain.
Man, they're stepping it up.
But it's come a long way from where it was in the late 80s and early 90s. But no, I don't know that I want to spend any extended vacation time there in Starkville, Mississippi.
If they're lucky, Chris, they might get a Piggly Wiggly.
A Dollar General.
Oh, they got plenty of those, man.
You know, there used to be a steakhouse. I don't know if it's still there. Right outside Starkville, that John Ward absolutely loved. Every time Tennessee would go to play Mississippi State in football or basketball, Ward would always take his he had an entourage, sort of like you, Swain. And his entourage was small, two or three people. And he'd take them to Richie's. He'd say, "Have you ever been to Richie's? Best steak I've ever had." And that was his place. It was, I don't know if it was right there in Starkville, it was just outside Starkville. But he loved that place.
Chris, I don't know if you're willing to answer this. You can sidestep it if you want. What is, if ESPN tells you you're going to this SEC city, what is the city that is going to bring on the least amount of excitement? Is it Fayetteville, Arkansas? Is it Starkville?
Fayetteville's beautiful.
Is it Oxford? Which or is it Columbia, Missouri?
Probably dump Gainesville. You know it's Gainesville, Chris.
Well,
you know how weird
it is
to see grown
all,
hairy men with Daisy Duke jorts on and mullets. You know how uncomfortable that makes you when they're sitting up next to you. You know how uncomfortable that is.
Well, I'd say Gainesville. I've been to all those towns, all right? And I think you could sit back. I could honestly sit back and poke holes in every single one of them, all 14, which fans do. I mean, fans poke at Tennessee, Hillbillies, and you know, the whole – Rocky Top song and all the you know, the Puka.
Watch it, Chris. You live in Knoxville.
Remember Sean Young? What was Sean Young? The great Sean Young recruiting story, Swain?
No, I don't remember that one, man.
He grew up in just across the border over in, I think, Dalton, Georgia.
Ah.
His dad and family, I think, big Bulldogs. Tennessee got him. He was a big recruit, big-time recruit. And this is back before the Internet. I remember calling his dad, trying to find out if he committed to Tennessee or not. Called the house, and his dad, Sean had an older brother, too. I don't think he came here. He may have played at Georgia. But he was one of the top offensive line recruits, certainly in the South. And I'll never forget calling the house that Sunday night right after the visit. And I said, I was looking for Sean. This is Chris Flo, the Tennessean. He said, "Sean, I'm here. This is his dad." And I said, "Well, sir, I was trying to find out if, you know, I know he was in Tennessee on a visit this week, you know, if he did indeed commit to Tennessee." He sort of sighed and he said, "Yeah." Came walking in here with that wearing that puke orange. So I guess that's where he's going. It's the only time I think ever in my career, I've been in the business 36 careers, that I got puke and copy. So my point is, fans all poke holes at each other's towns. I think probably Starkville and Columbia, Missouri would be the two that, if I had assignments, that I wouldn't be necessarily jumping up and down to go to. But, I mean, I've been to both and had good meals at both and had some good times. But, you know, there's a lot of towns a lot alike. You know, Oxford is, I mean, the square at Oxford is awesome. You mentioned Oxford. I mean, if you ever had a chance to sort of hang out on the square there at night and eat at Ajax Diner, or, you know, or go to, the famous Taylor Grocery and eat. I mean, there's a pretty cool vibe there at Oxford. I mean, Georgia, the party scene downtown at Georgia is pretty cool.
Do they have the internet in Starkville?
They have hotels. A nice hotel now,
Swain. Told you, they got a Hilton Garden Suites now, Swain. We got to get you out more. We got to broaden your horizon.
We need to get Swain, Chris, I need help. We need to talk Swain when Tennessee gets back to being Tennessee one day, going to Tuscaloosa for a Tennessee-Alabama game.
Oh, I'd love to get Swain back in Alabama, back in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. You know, Tuscaloosa is another town that's grown. Got a lot of great. I mean, if you love ribs, obviously there's two or three great places to eat ribs there. Even Auburn. See, I remember Auburn.
I can make ribs
Auburn
at home, Chris.
I know.
I'm good.
I know. But there, you know, you got to branch out. And you got to try different ribs to sort of see how good they really are there at Dead End. You know, it just sort of drives home how great the food and ribs are there at Dead End.
I understand. But, I mean, I just don't need to go to Tuscaloosa for.
But here, Auburn's another place. I mean, I can remember going to Auburn in the 80s, mid 80s. And I literally think there might have been one hotel, the Best Western, there in Auburn. You got off the interstate through 85, and you drove into Auburn, and there was virtually nothing there. I mean, I think you had Toomer's Corner there. You could still get your lemonade. And
they had lemonade.
It's grown. You know, it's grown. It's a great place to be on game weekend. I mean, the atmosphere, especially for night games and all weekend, people coming in, tailgating on their with their RVs. I mean, there's so many good things about SEC football. SEC fans don't realize how good they got it. You know, because you go to other locales in the country, ACC, for instance, some parts of the Big Ten, Pac-12, even some of the Big 12 venues and places to go. Now, they're in bigger cities, TCU's in Fort Worth, you know, but, and I'm not throwing off on TCU, but I'm just sort of, it doesn't have to be a big city to have a good time and to really soak it in. And you really can go to just about any SEC venue on a game weekend. I'm not saying I want to go spend 4 or 5 days in June in Starkville or Columbia, Missouri or Auburn, Alabama. But you know what? Somebody living in Auburn or Starkville or Oxford may not want to come to Knoxville for 4 days in June.
Oh, they're losers.
Other than the fact they get to listen to you every day. Because they can already listen to you on the app.
They can listen to me anywhere on the freaking moon, man, as long as they got the internet.
We have somebody listening in Korea, Swain, or Chris.
They might get to see you, Swain. If they come to here, here's the thing that would be the plus, is they might get to see you at Dead End Barbecue. They might actually get to see you in the flesh, see your autographed picture there on the wall.
Oh, gosh.
Number one.
Now, Chris,
Maybe even Adrian, Ari, and Audrey with you, which would be the real bonus.
Now, Chris, I don't know if you can talk about Swain's photo being up on the wall. I had Dead End last night, as a matter of fact, had the Mac Attack with some brisket, and I looked there on the wall, and there's your photo twice.
In the main
with
part of
next,
the restaurant.
Next to David Cutcliffe and Jeremy Pruitt and John Chavis and Philip Fulmer, Rick Barnes. I mean, you were on the coach's wall twice. So I don't know that you can be talking about Swain's photo being up on the wall at Dead End.
In the main part of Dead End.
Well, now, wait a minute. Where's Swain's photo is back in the MVP room.
The MVP room.
Back where they have the private parties. You got the big TV. You know, they bring in the sort of the heavy hitters in there. That's where Swain's picture is.
Oh, gosh. No, thank you on an Auburn trip, man. I got enough trees and toilet paper at the house. I'm good. What do you think about Tennessee moving the game to Thursday? Tennessee and Bowling Green moving this game to Thursday. You know, from your perspective, you know, what are some of the advantages and disadvantages that you see?
Would it be in Bowling Green and not, you know, Pittsburgh or Cal or, you know, North Carolina? You know, bigger Power Five team, you sort of want that to be, especially being Josh's first game as head coach, you'd rather that be on a Saturday, you know, where more fans are going to be able to get here. But I think the fact that it's on Thursday against a team that Tennessee clearly should beat, you know, because that's not a game on Saturday, Swain, that around the country is going to generate much attention. Would you agree?
1,000%.
But on Thursday, you know, everyone's jonesing for football, right, to start. That's the first part of the season. There's going to be more eyes on that game on a Thursday night, watching that game. As I said, it's Josh's first game. It's the first game of yet a new era in Tennessee football. You know, there have been some, you go down through the years, there have been some memorable Tennessee games not played on Saturday. And I think, again, the fact that it's to open the season, it's, you're not playing a Power Five team. I think it helps. I think it helps. It helps Tennessee. Certainly, if they can play well, the offense comes out, and you sort of see Josh's handprint on it and the way they play differently, up tempo, spread the ball around. You're going to have more eyes on you, I think, because it's played on Thursday in this situation.
Chris, we were talking earlier in the show, a listener, C-Mac, who, funny enough, he brought up a point about Tennessee, but he's an NC State fan. I thought that was pretty ironic. But he brought up the fact that, you know, this past year we did not get to honor Johnny Majors, you know, the way that he deserved to be honored. And now Pittsburgh comes to Knoxville week two. Do you think there's a chance that Tennessee tries to honor Johnny Majors along with Pittsburgh or something along those lines?
I sure hope so, and that'd be the perfect time to do it. Coast Majors means so much to both those programs. It'd be great. It's a great idea, and I know his former players would turn out in droves, you know, on both sides of the equation. I'll never forget running into Tony Dorsett back in Orlando, Florida. It's been years ago. I don't know why I was there. Guys, this has been late 90s. And I went up, you know, just several people had gone up to talk to him. And he just raved about Coach Majors, what he'd meant to him and his career and how awesome it was to play for him. But I think if you get that, if you're able to get a bunch of those players on both sides together, Ben, that'd be a terrific way to honor Coach Majors, his legacy and what he, you know, two places that he went to and took from, you know, sort of bad situations to being nationally relevant. I mean, hell, he won a national championship at Pittsburgh, left Pittsburgh, as he would remind me often. Just won a national championship at Pittsburgh and had the talent to win a few more. But I came back home. I came back because they needed me. and of course, it took him a while. You know, we all know that. It's not like he came right in and they were winning championships in Tennessee. But, boy, he got that program rolling and brought in great players there in the late 80s and all up into the 90s. And I'd love to see it, man. I know we all miss Coach Majors. You know the cool thing about Coach Majors is you could sit down and talk to Coach Majors for 30 minutes or longer. Of course, you never really had a lot of short conversations with him. He's one of those rare coaches, certainly after he retired, that, you know, a lot of coaches want to talk for like a minute or two and they want to go on about their business and watch film or whatever. Coach Majors would ramble on forever. If you ever got a voicemail message from Coach Majors, I hope you had a lot of tape remaining on your voicemail because they were long.
Man, I heard stories about that.
Yeah. I mean, I remember coming home back when before I even had a cell phone. My wife, Julie, she said, Christy, you know a Coach Major, a Coach Majors? I mean, because she didn't grow up in Tennessee. And I said, yeah. She said, he left a long voicemail on her telephone. And it was, I went and listened to it. He was up in D.C. with his grandson, Brandon, and he gave me his whole itinerary for the day. They'd gone to the Smithsonian Institute. We're going to go see this and go see that. I mean, just, but going back to my original point, he loved history. And you could talk to him for 30 minutes, guys, and football would never even come up. He'd talk about his trip to Normandy. You know, he'd talk about going to New York City, seeing a play. I mean, he was a very worldly guy, you know, and just so fascinating to talk to because, and if he did talk about football, he'd talk about, you know, his early years, his dad, you know, coming to Tennessee and going to the payphone after his first practice there, down on the corner. Of course, it's not there anymore, but down the corner just below Neyland Stadium and calling his dad and said, guess what, Dad? They missed tackles in college, too, you know, after his first practice. But he was just so awesome to talk to. And he had a place he loved to go eat lunch in Knoxville. It's called the Lunch House out on Magnolia Avenue, an old white house, old white, you know, building. And I think they, you know, hence the name Lunch House. I don't even think they serve dinner. But he loved to go there, and he'd always, when I went with him, he'd always order the vegetable plate. He'd get like four or five vegetables. They'd have to bring them on two trays. Soup beans, collard greens, green beans, whatever. And he just sit there and tell stories. Man, it was priceless. But, Ben, that's a great idea, and I hope they do are able to do something like that and honor Coach Majors because, again, he is a you know, we've lost a lot of great ones. And when I say great, I mean great. People that bled Tennessee to the core over the last 10 years. And I'm not going to start naming them because I'll leave somebody off. But certainly Coach Majors is somebody that when you think of Tennessee, me being a graduate of Tennessee, my dad was a graduate of Tennessee. My son Adam is there in his third year. You know, Coach Majors is the kind of person that makes you proud to have that degree from Tennessee on your wall. So I pray that they do something like that to honor him now that we're starting to open up and we don't have some of the restrictions and regulations that held us down with COVID last year.
That's right, man. Well said, my friend. Well said. Man, appreciate you. Appreciate you coming on the show. It's been a while, man. It's been a while. Let's do it again. Let's do it again.
Well, it's because, again, you're so tied up with, I mean, now not only are you chauffeuring Ben around, you know, you still got your own entourage. I know. I mean, I saw you, was it the baseball game or somewhere I saw you and you had all these people around you, you know, and you're sort of sitting there in the middle. So I get it. I mean, when you're Hollywood Swain, you know, it's like Ric Flair. Ric Flair once said that, yeah, he played the Ric Flair character, but down deep he really was Ric Flair. Same with you, Hollywood Swain. Yeah, I mean, you play the character on the radio, but that's sort of you, 24/7 Swain.
Interesting, Chris.
Now let's do it again soon. It's always good catching up, and I'll tell you what, man, I'm fired up about the baseball team. They're a fun team to watch play, and I love Tony's intensity, and I love the way the guys play for him and the way he sticks up for his players. I mean, when he feels like somebody gets robbed, Ben, you've been to a lot of games, man, when somebody gets a bad call or there's a play at one of the bases that he doesn't agree with. I mean, he's right out there in the umpire's face.
Mm-hmm.
And players like that. They like when their coach fights for them. You know, and he does that. He's been a breath of fresh air. You know, hey, and I'll leave you with this. Hey, John Curry hire, Swain.
That's right. That's right, man.
So Curry hired Vitello.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Hart hired Rick Barnes. Danny White hired Josh Heupel. So the three, Philip Fulmer hired Kelly Harper. So the four coaches in the men's and women's basketball programs and the baseball and the football program all hired by four different ADs. Let that set in.
Watch it, national media guy.
No, I'm just stating facts.
Hey.
That shows you the instability over there in the last few years. You got your four main coaches hired by four different ADs.
Chris, I know how you national media guys like to do it.
I'm just messing with you, man.
No, you're right. You're right. I don't know which coach is going to be the most successful out of those four, man. But yeah, you're right. They all hired
probably Rick Barnes
by different ADs. I mean, hey, the one that's most successful is the one who wins the championship. Tony Vitello has a chance.
And I think off the field. I think off the field and court matter too. You know, how you fit, rally the people in the community and the fan base, how you treat them. And I think they just want to know that they got a coach that's there working their butts off to try to make Tennessee successful and doing it the right way and doing it because, you know, whether they're from Tennessee or not, because they developed that, you know, that allegiance, that appreciation for Tennessee and its tradition and the fan base. And, you know, much the way, you know, you keep it to a football-related analogy, much the way Coach Majors and Coach Fulmer did during that unbelievable football run.
Hey, true words right there, my friend. True words. Stay out of trouble, Chris, all right? Can you do that for me, please?
I'll leave that to you, man. You're the one that's got a show every day. You're the one that shakes them all up.
Yeah, I'm staying out of trouble. I'm a good guy. All right, Chris. Much love, my friend.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
See you. Chris Lowe, ESPN. Follow him at CLowe ESPN. How you feeling, Ben? You okay over there?
I feel great. Should I not feel great?
I just wonder. Just wondering how you feel. That's it, man. Checking in on you, man. Checking
I
in
feel
on you.
Good.
Don't mess that song up. Do not mess that song up. Volston 1017, will Jermaine Pruitt be watching on Thursday night or will he be fetching Derek Dooley's coffee? Jermaine Pruitt is winning right now.
Unfortunately.
I mean, yeah, he got embarrassed. He's fired, but like he got a job in 5 minutes. Like he ain't broke. Yeah, he gonna miss out on a lot of money because of being fired for calls, but he's gonna stick in the NFL, and he gonna be all right. He gonna be okay. John K., South Carolina. Swain, Dreamland Barbecue is great in Tuscaloosa. Probably the only thing there. Listen, I've been to Dreamland before, Tuscaloosa. I've been to Dreamland in Birmingham. I've been to Dreamland in Huntsville.
It's overrated.
Dreamland in Tuscaloosa is obviously better than the one in Birmingham and Huntsville. But Ben said it. It is.
Overrated. What's the other one? The other one's overrated, too. What's the other one in the state of Alabama? The big...
Archibalds?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I went to the one in Tuscaloosa when I went down for my buddy's graduation, and, I mean, I was... I'm talking about Dreamlands, that is. I was confused as to what the hype was all about.
Well, years ago, I thought it was cool that they would let you sit down and they would give you some white bread and some barbecue sauce. Oh, man, that's cool, man. It's appetizer. Now, it's ghetto. it's pretty ridiculous. It's cheap. Why am I paying for white bread? This is terrible.
I did not expect you to say ghetto.
I'm just saying, man. It's terrible. 865-255-03. Golf fan says he's really trying hard not to answer the question. Force Chris Lowe to pick a city. He said Starkville.
He came back around Starkville and Columbia.
He said. Jamel said he said a few nice restaurants and said Hardee's. Oh man. Big Biz James says Starkville, believe it or not, is fun. Oh well, you gave me a choice. I'm choosing not to believe it, Big James. I do not believe that. That is a lie. What are you doing in your life? Your life must be boring, Big James. Big Biz James, if you think Starkville's fun, look at me over here talking stuff. I ain't even been to Starkville before.
I've never been. I almost went to the 2012 Tennessee-Mississippi State game. CP had that kick return for a touchdown. Dooley had to be wheelchaired everywhere.
Oh, I remember him sitting on the steps in pregame.
Yeah,
looking sad.
Glad I didn't go to that game.
I knew he was gonna lose that game. I saw that picture of him. When they showed that shot of him in the wheelchair on the steps. Oh no, we can lose in this game. Look at us. Look at our coach. Look at our coach.
Oh, that was almost 10 years ago.
When I saw Butch sneak up and spoon Derek Mason. At the 50-yard line, I thought we was going to lose that game, too. Didn't we wind up losing that game? Didn't we lose that game?
What year was that?
There's signs that tell you pregame, like, you're losing this game. You're losing this game. Coach spooned the
just
other coach.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Virginia Tech knew.
We're not ready to play.
Virginia Tech knew that they were losing when that video of Darrell Taylor went around.
Absolutely. When Darrell Taylor says, we going to whoop that blankety blank. Oh, Vols by 50. Vols by 50. I knew.
Now, there was a time where the pregame signs lied. The Music City Bowl, when there may or may not have been some people laughing at Butch's pregame speech.
Oh, I got your back.
Yeah. Tennessee was able to overcome.
That was just talent. Talent won that game.
Derek Barnett. That was the Derek Barnett sack record game against the Cornhuskers.
That was just talent.
They were able to overcome the silliness of pregame and win.
Yeah, that was. Hewitt says, have y'all mentioned that Ohio State plays Minnesota on the same Thursday night? Absolutely. Absolutely. Hewitt, I don't know if you're saying that as a pro for Tennessee or against Tennessee scheduling this game, but, I mean, this narrative that Tennessee is so desperate for exposure, they got to move it on a Thursday. And a program like Tennessee shouldn't have to move a game on Thursday. Ohio State's doing it, and they're better right now. So that kind of kills that argument really quick. Chatval 18, quote, I need some new draws. You too, Chatval? Or he just quoted me? I mean, who doesn't need new draws? Any day is a good day to get new draws.
Yes. Draws are expensive, though.
Yeah, but, why wouldn't you not want to get new ones?
At least the draws I wear.
That's nice to know, Ben.
I mean, you walk around in your robe, pumping gas this morning in your robe.
That is a true story. That is not fake.
Swain, the past 2 days, has picked me up in his robe. Now, thankfully, he's wearing clothes underneath, but still.
Yeah, man.
What grown man wears a robe? Out.
A man that's going right back to the house.
Same man that makes fun of people for wearing a jersey.
No.
Yes.
I said, I'm not wearing a jersey, but you can.
But you secretly judge.
Nah. You don't know what I'm thinking.
You just raised your nose at it just now when you said that.
No. No. But I did pick you up with the robe. See, what happened was y'all let the media hype y'all up. And you went out and got all the gas yesterday. I got in the car and my gas light on. My gas light wasn't even on yesterday. I think my gas light listening to the news and stuff too. And like I had plenty of gas yesterday. I got into the car this morning. I think somebody stole my gas last night. That's what happened. I think someone siphoned gas out of my car last night because I had plenty of gas last night. Anyways. So I get in the car. I gotta go chauffeur Ben around. I gotta go pick him up. So I pick up Ben and I'm like, hey, let me go over here to this Y, go see what's going on. I ain't even pull in. I saw nothing but signs on the pump. I knew what the deal was. So I said, let me hit up Samuels. Let me see what Samuels is talking about. So I pulled into Sam's. Oh my goodness. Just an open gas pump. I filled my thing all the way up, man. Filled it all the way up.
In your robe.
I took the robe off to get out of the car. I took the robe off. I didn't want to, but I didn't want anybody taking any pictures. That would have been embarrassing. Can't live that down.
I was definitely going to.
865-255-03, hour 3 coming up.